Good morning. God gave us a beautiful day. Every day is beautiful. This is an exceptionally beautiful day. Thrilled for the privilege to come and meet with all the brethren, sing praises to God. This morning I'd like to continue where we've been studying from 1 John. Today we'd like to talk about 1 John 4, 1 through 6. Where John tells them, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not Jesus is of God is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, and of the world they speak, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that knoweth not God heareth us not. This is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." There are two contrasting powers working the world, the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. John is telling us that the spirit, there's many spirits in this world. He says, prove the spirits where they are of God. This is a serious situation that I think the world today overlooks as a frivolous thing. They don't seek truth. Truth is truth, and it'll always be truth. And no matter what man does to it, truth is still truth. And man, in all of his false teaching, in all of our liking to be more liberal, is not going to change truth. He's been telling us that relationship with God in these first three chapters, relationship with God is in relation to our actions to God. He's going to tell you in these six verses, our relationship with God is in relation to our doctrine. Our doctrine is an important thing. The world, as I've already said, when they think of truth, they think in the area that everybody's led today, intolerance. Well, we're okay, they're okay, but that's not truth. There's only one truth. And by that one truth, only can men be saved. So God's word becomes a very serious thing. Chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Speaks of a discerning life. Tells us that fellowship with God is rooted in the acceptance of sound doctrine and the rejection of false doctrine. This chapter, he's speaking to Christians. And these Christians know how serious God is about his word. He said, clear back in Deuteronomy, Moses was saying when he brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, in Deuteronomy, they're standing by the Jordan River getting ready to enter into the promised land. And in chapter 18 of Deuteronomy, 18 through 20, he tells us that a prophet speaks the word of God. And if anybody doesn't speak the word of God, put him to death. God's serious about his word. He says in verse 22 of that same chapter, if any prophet prophesies and it doesn't come true, he's not a prophet of God. Don't fear him. Put him to death. He says in chapter 13 of that same book, Deuteronomy, even if what a man says comes to pass, if he entices you to follow after other gods, put him to death. That's serious business. Because the truth is serious business. We can take a gun and shoot somebody. And all we've done is kill his fleshly body. We haven't touched his soul. But those that speak false doctrine murder the souls of men for a whole eternity. God says, listen, if they don't speak the truth, put them to death. Now, John's going to tell us here, you prove the spirits. He says here in verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. He starts out by calling them beloved. Beloved, these are the people that he said throughout this 1 John, he's called them my little children. But he's going to tell them things that they need to do, things that they need to be loyal to the Word of God, but he wants them to know that he loves them. And he wants them to be loyal to the Word of God because he loves them. Jesus and God wants us to be loyal to the world because they love us, because they know anything short of the truth doesn't lead to heaven. Be diligent, he's saying. He said, beloved, believe not. Now we need a grammar lesson. Believe not. That is a present imperative with a negative. Believe is a present imperative. That's a command. Do it. Present means continual action. Be believing. But with a negative, what's that mean? In the original language, that means stop doing what you're doing. We don't get that from the English. John is telling them, quit believing those false teachers. Stop believing all these spirits. Shows us that the Gnostic teachers, who he was fighting against, the Gnostics, they are making inroads into the truth. He says, you stop believing them. But what do? Prove. Prove the spirits. Now, the word prove there is a word that means prove by testing. It's like the proof that you prove metal or precious metal. It's Proverbs 17:3. He says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for the gold. But Jehovah trieth the hearts. Just like gold is purified, when you go buy a ring, you want to know how many carats that thing is. You want to know how pure that thing is. Pratip, who Robert knows, was raised in a Chinese family in Bangkok, and he was raised in a jewelry store. And he tells, when they get gold, they melt it down. And they melt it down because gold is heavy and it sinks, and the impurities float to the top, and they skim them off. And he says they do that 10 times to get to pure gold. That's the same word that the original language used for proving gold. You prove the spirits. You prove them by testing. Prove them by testing. He says you don't believe every spirit, because he's talking about the people, the same people in chapter 2, verse 18. He says we're the Antichrist. He says you prove the spirit. You prove them against the truth. You prove them by God's word, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, he was dealing with the Gnostics, this teaching docetism and all sorts of things. The people that denied Jesus came in the flesh. Just seemed like he was in the flesh. It just seemed like he was really there. When he walked in the sand, he didn't even leave a print. And those that deny that Jesus is the Christ, he's telling us in chapter 2, 22 and 23, that's the Antichrist, who is the liar. But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, this is the Antichrist. He that denieth the Father and the Son, he that denieth the Son hath not the Father. So that takes in all religions that don't believe in Jesus. He says, they don't have the Father. They have no hope. That's not only the Muslims, that's not only the Jews, that's not only the Gnostics, that's not only the Buddhists and the atheists and the agnostics and the evolutionists. That's anybody that thinks they've got a revelation from God and would change the word that God gave us. And he said it doesn't change. That takes in the Catholics and the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness and the Seventh-day Adventists, anybody that's got a new revelation is just like who he's talking about right here. God says this is a serious situation. It's the difference between where you will spend eternity. He says, test the spirits. Prove the spirits. You prove them by testing. Paul talks about this on 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21. Paul says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. He doesn't just say abstain from evil. He says abstain from every form of evil. Stay away from all evil, because he'll tell you, Paul says to the Corinthian brethren, 2 Corinthians 10:18, he said, it's not he that commendeth himself that's approved, but whom God commendeth. It's all of God. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, Paul tells the Corinthian brethren, try yourselves whether you're of the faith. Prove your own selves, that you would know that Christ is in you, otherwise you're reprobate. What word would you suppose reprobate comes from? Reprobate is the opposite of the word prove. Actually, it's the same word as prove, but it's got an A in front of it. So a reprobate is the ones that didn't prove out by testing. Lined up with the word of God. He's a reprobate. He failed the test. That John is telling them, you prove the spirits. You prove every spirit, whether they are reprobate or not. We prove them by the word of God. The word that Jesus spoke is the word of God. The word that Jesus gave to the apostles is the word of God. Jesus said, John 12:48, he that rejecteth me and my sayings has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. For I spake not of myself, but the Father that sent me gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things that I say, even as the Father spoken to me, say I unto you. Jesus says the standard by which you will be judged is his words, because his words are God's words. Every disciple, every one of you, have in your hands the standard by which to prove all things. And it is your responsibility to prove all things. Everyone should be in subjection to the proving. Don't sit there and turn off your brain and listen to what I say. Don't sit there and turn off your brain, listen to what Robert, David, Dave, Scott, Mark, any one of us that gets up here and speaks. Don't turn off your brain and just accept what we say. Prove it where it's true. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, I guarantee you, to the best of my knowledge, I guarantee you, that Robert or myself or Dave or David or whoever speaks, Mark or Scott or whoever gets up here, has no intentions of deceiving you, but we're men. We're men, and all men are subject to error. You have the measuring standard. And it is your responsibility to measure everything that is said. He had already said in chapter 2, verse 26, these things write unto you concerning them that would lead you astray. This world is full of people that lead you astray. You turn on the TV and you listen to preachers, women preachers, leading people astray. You turn on the Christian radio station, and you hear error being taught. Their desire and design is being used by Satan to lead you astray. Prove the spirits whether they are of God. Don't let other people only explain Scripture to you. The Ethiopian eunuch in Acts when he was going and Philip joined him, and he says, Philip asked him, do you understand the things you read? He said he was reading from Isaiah. And he says, how can I except someone explain it to me? So we need people to explain scriptures. We need preachers. We need teachers. But that doesn't mean we need to just shut our eyes and our ears and our brain and accept what they say without proving it. We want to be as the Bereans in Acts 17:11. Paul goes from Thessalonica down to Berea, and he says, these are more noble than they of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness of mind, searching the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Are you daily searching the scriptures? And if you're not, start. Start searching the scriptures daily. Thank God for good teachers. But search the scriptures and prove everything I say, Robert says, or anybody says. Prove it, whether it's true or not. Then he goes on, and he's going to tell you some of the standards by which you can prove these Gnostic teachers. But the same standard would hold true today. In verse 2, he says, hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Now that, hereby we know the Spirit of God, that should probably be a little less. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the mind of God. All through this passage, if you notice, he speaks of spirits. Believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits. Every one of these is going to talk about the spirit of truth and spirit of evil. He's talking about the word that comes from these people. Tells you the spirit that's in their heart. Says, hereby we know the Spirit of God. Not the Holy Spirit. We know God's mind, God's word. Every spirit that confesses Jesus is come. Is come is a perfect tense word. Which means he right now stands in the state of having come in flesh. And look at the preposition. Grammar means something. Ask God, he'll tell you. His mother was an English teacher. Grammar means something. We slobber over language. Language has meaning. What did he tell you there? Everyone that believeth Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, not into the flesh. It's a different preposition. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. That means that deity, God, Jesus Christ, who lived in all eternity, who is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, he's eternal, he's holy, he's sovereign. All authority is given to him in heaven and earth. He is everything. He's God. He that lived with God for all eternity came in flesh. That's what he's saying. He didn't come into flesh, as the Gnostics were saying. Cerinthus lived in the first century. He was there at the same time John was. He was a terrible heretic. Of the Gnostic belief. And he and the followers of him said that Jesus was born of Joseph of Mary by a natural birth, just a man, flesh and blood. And since he was such a good man, God sent his spirit, the in Christ, into this man that Joseph was the father of at his baptism. And then before he died, that spirit left him, leaving just a man to die on the cross. Heresy. He says, everyone that believeth Jesus, that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh, is of God. Come in the flesh. He tells you, you know, you talk it, John 1. Verse 14, the word became flesh. Who's the word? The word in verse 1, it was with God and is God. Verse 3, that word created this whole universe. That word become flesh and dwelt among men. And we beheld his glory. Glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That one came in flesh. The fact that Jesus came in flesh is not only the center of the gospel, it's the whole of gospel. Because if Jesus' deity didn't come in flesh, then we have no hope. We have no hope. Gary spoke of that this morning. This Jesus is deity. He that confesses that is of God. You notice every other verse now. Verse 2, he speaks about those whose spirit believes in God. Verse 3, he'll talk about the wicked spirit. Verse 4, he'll talk about the good spirits. Verse 5, he'll talk about the spirits of the earth. Verse 6, he'll talk about the good spirits again. To let us know that he's making a definite distinction. There is a distinct line drawn between error and truth. There's no half-truths. It's either truth or it's error. And you hear people talk about different religious people say, well, they're close to the truth. Well, close isn't good enough. Close isn't good enough. When we're talking about truth, I mean, you and I may have difference of understanding, but truth is truth. And it'll never change. And that's the truth that we're seeking. He'll tell you there in the very next verse, every spirit that confesses not Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which he brought up in chapter 2, verse 18. This is the last time. You've heard the Antichrist come and many Antichrists come. Therefore, it's the last times. The Antichrist is here. He's telling you how you make a distinction. These people don't confess that Jesus came in the flesh. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, who you heard is coming and is now in the world. You know he's coming. These people, the Gnostics at that time, or anybody today that wouldn't believe Jesus came in the flesh, or wouldn't believe that Jesus is the Christ, or wouldn't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, any one of them. Gnostics or modern people that believe that are the Antichrist. What does the prophet say? He starts out in chapter 1, verse 1. He says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with the eyes and beheld and handled with our hands concerning the word of life. Speaking of Jesus. That's the prophets. That's the apostolic witness of who Jesus is. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. This deity came in flesh, and any other belief is not acceptable to God. We have a whole world out there that doesn't believe that. What do you think of Christ? What are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to do with Jesus? Listen, that's the question that every one of us needs to face. What are you going to do with Jesus? What's most of the world say? Well, I don't plan on doing anything, you know. Well, you've just denied him. By that statement, you have denied that Jesus is the Christ. When you decide just to be neutral. There are no neutrals. You're either for him. Jesus says, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. There's no neutral stand. We're either for Jesus or we're against him. Paul stated in Galatians 1, verse 6, he says, I marvel that you're so quickly removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto a different gospel, which is not another gospel. Only there are some that trouble you who would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, the apostles, or an angel from heaven would preach any other gospel unto you other than that which we preach, let him be anathema, which means accursed forever. Following verse says, as we said before, so say I again, if any man preaching to you any gospel other than that which you receive, let him be anathema. You think God's not serious about truth? You think we can be flippant about what we accept and what we receive and what we follow? John is telling you, you be careful. You don't believe every spirit. Don't listen to him. If you can't take this book and prove what he's saying is truth, don't accept it. If you hear any of us get up here and talk, if you can't prove what we say by this book, don't accept it. Because only truth brings salvation. Nothing else. Spirit of the Antichrist. He said you heard that it was coming. Jesus told him it was coming. Jesus says in Matthew 24, where he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. In verse 24, he says, there shall arise many false Christs and false prophets with showing great signs and wonders. If possible, they may lead astray even the elect. Jesus says they're coming. Paul tells the elders from Ephesus when he meets them in Acts 20. In verse 29, he says, I know that after my departure, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. From among your own selves, the elders of Ephesus, from among your own selves, men shall arise speaking perverse things to lead aside the disciples after them. Read 2 Peter 2, Jude. Jude in 2 Peter 2 says basically the same thing, talking about ungodly men saying ungodly things to lead men astray. He says they're already here. The opposite of that is speaking the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, we having the same spirit of faith, even as is written, I believe, quoting the Psalms, I believe, therefore did I speak. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Which would indicate those of us who are not speaking for Christ is because we don't believe. He says we believe, we speak. We speak the truth. Then he'll go on in verse 4 and speak to God's people again. He says, you are of God. My little children have overcome them. Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in them. Calls them little children again, the same ones he called beloved up above them. Little children. These little children are the overcomers. You want to know who the triumphant people are? The ones that are in Christ. Everybody that's not in Christ is a loser. He says, you overcome. The word overcome means to conquer, to be victorious. He says, little children, these people, you've overcome them. You're victorious over this false teaching. Listen, anybody that's in Jesus, victory is in Jesus. As I said, everybody else is losers. Jesus overcome. Jesus says to the apostles in John 16:33, these things have I said unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's victorious over the world. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, you see the throne room of God. Chapter 5, when we see that God sits on the throne with a roll, with a scroll rolled up with 8 seals covenant, and nobody could, in chapter 5, nobody could be found in heaven or on earth to open the books, and John's reaction was to weep. And in chapter 5:5, the elder said, one of the elders said unto John, weep not. Behold, the lion out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, he has overcome to take the book and open the 7 seals. Jesus, overcome. And Jesus gives decisive victory to all Christians who overcome. He tells you in the first of the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation, the one to Ephesus, in chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "He that overcometh, I'll give to eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God." He closes the book in chapter 21, verse 7, says, "He that overcome shall inherit these things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son." Overcome. He says, "My little children, you have overcome them." We are the overcomers. We are those that are in Christ. Paul speaks the same thing. Beautiful passage in Romans 8, verse 37. After he's been talking about the persecutions that can't sway him in death, persecutions, beatings, and cold and hungry, he says, verse 37, in all these things, we're more than conquerors in him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We, in Jesus, are the victorious ones. We will live and reign forever. He that is in you is greater than he that is in them. Paul praises God. 2 Corinthians 2:14. He says, "Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus, and makes manifest through us the savor of his knowledge in every place." Thanks be to God. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. Brethren, get in Christ. By the truth, stay in Christ, and we are victorious. Don't listen to any teaching that doesn't come from his word. Prove all the spirits, whether they are of God. I'm out of time. Should have looked at my watch earlier. But Paul tells them, to those in Colossians, he says, "Take heed, brethren, lest anybody make spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." They're of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. Don't have time to talk about it. We are of God. He that knoweth God, heareth us. The knoweth and the heareth, those are present tense. Put an ing on it, see? Those that are knowing God are hearing us, the apostles. He that knoweth not God hears us not. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Those that hear us, he's talking about the apostles. We are of God. That's the apostolic college. All of them. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:37, "If any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the word which I wrote, that they are the commandment of God." 2 Peter 1 tells us that no prophecy, first of all, no prophecy of the private interpretation, for no prophecy ever came by the will of man. But men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. What these apostles spoke is God's word. Not the spirit of error. God's word, truth, produces children of God. Error produces children of Satan. There's only two places to be in this world. There are two kingdoms. There's two rulers. There's two families. There's two spirits. There's two relationships. There's two doctrines. And there's two destinies. Either Christ's or Satan's. Either you'll spend eternity with Christ in heaven, or you'll spend eternity with Satan in hell of fire. And what makes the difference is what we do with truth. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, let us love one another from the heart fervently. Have you obeyed the Lord? Who are you listening to? It's a serious thing. Don't be flippant about this. I never understand how people can be so flippant with their eternal destination. This life just passes like that. Those of us like me are old people. You know, tomorrow we're not even here. But you're going to live forever someplace. Know that you're living with Christ forever in heaven. If you're not there, get there today. Whether you need to be baptized into Christ or whether you need to return, come back home today, right now, while we sing.